But let me say good morning first up to Michelle. How are you, Michelle?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good
morning.
Good to hear it. Now then, you've come up all the way from Barry.
I have.
So please, just give us a little resume of your life up until this morning at about now 9:45 or so.
How long have you got?
Well, we've got a while, but just the exciting bits, really.
Well, I grew up in Cardiff, and I currently live in Barry, and I have lived there since I was about 13. I'm here to talk to you about my book, The Ghosts of Cryglass Castle.
Yes.
And that's the third book that I've written and had published by Candy Jar Books.
Uh-huh.
And children's books, about middle grade, so 9 to 12 years.
Understood. Okay. And what was it that first started you on the road of thinking, I think I could write a little bit?
I've always written.
Okay.
As a child, I loved to write stories, read stories,
yes.
And used to write short stories. And then in about 2011, I had an idea for a story and I wrote it. And I was lucky enough to get published in 2012.
Excellent work. Okay, so it's gone on from there, and clearly that's what we're going to be talking about. But obviously, another important part of your life has been the educational side of it, and I know that you work down in Wenvo in the Vale.
I do, yes. I work at Gwenvo Primary School.
Right.
I work part-time there.
Yes.
And where I support learning, but I also teach creative writing.
Wow, I mean that must be great fun to juggle those two things.
It's wonderful. The children are a constant source of inspiration to me, and we have the most amazing writers in Gwenvo Primary.
Yeah, and I suppose there's nothing like getting at your audience young, is there? Either from the point of view of writing for them, but also in this case as well, sort of egging them on and saying, you know, kids, you could do this. You really could. And I mean, there is nothing like it, is there, than seeing some young'uns take up the challenge and actually they're a way to go.
Absolutely. As I said, they're a constant source of inspiration. Their writing, their poetry, their creativity.
Yes, yes.
Is awe-inspiring, really.
Kids, whether it be on TV, whether it's now with books, and almost any age, they do rather like to be frightened a little bit, don't they?
They certainly do. Yes, yeah. I think their tolerance is slightly higher than ours were.
Yeah, I think we were weaklings, weren't really, back in the day. And again, as I said, Enid Blyton, you know, I had a crate full of books at my mum and dad's house, most of which had been my brother's before me, who was about 10 years older than me, and brought up, you know, in the 60s on a diet of Enid Blyton stuff. And there wasn't anything terribly frightening with Enid Blyton, was there, really?
No, not really.
No. But now, lots of authors who are writing for children have introduced that little bit of element of, well, what do we say? Suspense, a little bit of, oh, my goodness me. And the kids love it. And this is something, obviously, that you have done with your books.
Yes, it is. I've introduced a supernatural element to the books. Yes.
And so let's just say again, that your books, you would say, you're pitching them at what sort of age, really?
It's 9 to 12.
9 to 12, yeah. So, I mean, kids who are starting to feel their feet a little bit and thinking that they fancy their chances.
Definitely.
And you think, right, we'll have you now, there'll be a few scares in store. Okay, so just tell us where it all started then.
I wrote a fantasy book. A novel,
mm-hmm.
which was in 2012,
yes.
with a supernatural, scary element.
Right.
And my children were a bit younger then. And then I thought about writing a book with ghosts, because I love a good ghost story.
Who doesn't?
And I wrote The House on March Lane in 2016.
Right.
And the two characters in that book were young, just about to go to comp children.
Right.
And they had a detective adventure which included ghosts, and it was a full-on ghost story.
Right.
And so the latest book takes those two characters 10 months later,
mm-hmm.
and another detective adventure. But this time I wanted to set the adventure in Wales. The House on March Lane wasn't set in Wales.
Right, right.
But I really wanted to put Wales back in my stories.
Excellent, yeah.
So I've set the story in Wales, in a castle in Pembrokeshire.
All right.
And I don't think you can get more ghostly than a old castle in Pembrokeshire.
Not at all.
Yes, so that's what I did with this story. It is a detective story again. It's set in two different times. So it's set in the Victorian times and now. And again, it's a mystery trying to figure out what the ghosts want from the two main characters, Flora and Archie.
Okay, okay. Because they can sort of communicate with them.
They can, mm-hmm. yes, they can. Flora very much loves the idea of being able to talk to ghosts. Archie, a little bit more reluctant
right,
to do
right.
so.
Okay. So, clearly, they're going off on an adventure. This is the second book, but I'm guessing you're probably going to say you've got plenty of ideas for more.
I have an idea for a third one, definitely.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Based on the ending of The House on March Lane.
Yes.
So I've still got something in mind that I'm mulling over
okay.
at the moment.
And what sort of response have you had? I mean, presumably it's been very, very positive from the first book, which has then brought about this second book, which is obviously going to be published now in a couple of days' time.
Yes, the 2nd of March, World Book Day, it's
yep.
going to be available.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So far, lots of people have been in touch, very excited by it. And quite a lot of children that I've spoken to have also been waiting
mm-hmm.
for a sequel.
Ah, right.
So that's
yeah,
really
yeah.
good, really positive.
And presumably, of course, you've been able to use the children there down in Wenvo as a bit of a litmus test and try out some of your ideas on them.
Yes, I love what they have to tell me.
Right.
It's really, really good feedback.
I bet.
Really good. And children don't mind telling you if they think something isn't quite right or if something should be different.
No, I'm sure.
And that's, fantastic.
Really, I mean, you're in a great position there, aren't you? Because straight away you can bounce ideas off them. And those kids, as you say, are not going to hold back. They'll tell you.
They will. Yes, it's great. It's really, really, it makes you a better writer, I think. If you've got children, if you bounce some ideas across and then you go home and think about it, they might not know that you're bouncing ideas off them. But then you go home and think about it and you might change what you write.
Well, that's the clever thing. Let's just talk about the idea then behind the two books. You've said, obviously, the second one now set down in Pembrokeshire. But let's just go back to the first book and remind us about the setting for that particular novel.
So the first book was about two children and a warehouse, an antiques warehouse.
Ah, lovely.
Owned by Flora's dad. And I visited a reclamation yard down in Bridgend.
Yes.
Round about the time, and I thought, wow, this would be such a great idea for a story. Imagine what you could do in a place like this. And the idea developed from there.
Right, right.
And it was the two children's connection to something that was in the warehouse. And then the adventure that they went on to connect that item
mm-hmm.
with the original person that it belonged to, who happened to be a ghost.
So this is where the ghost came in.
Absolutely.
Clever stuff. Clever stuff. Because, I mean, antique markets, I mean, I love them. But, yeah, you're quite right. I mean, occasionally they can be a bit creepy, particularly the big warehouses where you go around a corner and the next minute you come across something and think, oh, heck, I didn't expect that to be there. And so, again, the same thing for kids, isn't it? That it's, yeah, it's mildly scary and actually it could get even scarier.
That's right, yes. With the second book, I thought about... As I said, I wanted it to be set in Wales.
Yes.
I had a castle in mind, but I had a chat with a friend who had visited. My friend Shana had visited a stately home of an opera singer who had made her home in Swansea, and I then again had another spark for an idea. I did a little bit of research on this opera singer and I thought, do you know what, this might be a really good story, a good setting, but I moved the castle, I moved it from a manor house to a castle, same sort of thing.
So was that Madame Adelina Patti's home in Craigenors Castle?
Yes,
that's
right.
A well-known place.
And obviously, the Patti Pavilion was named after her.
Indeed,
in Swansea.
Yeah,
and many a gig there. And also, she sang at the Eisteddfod, which was really unusual for somebody to do that, be invited to sing at the Eisteddfod. So I based my main adult character around her.
Gotcha.
I wanted to include some of my own heritage. My great-grandfather came to Cardiff Docks from Bilbao. He was a Basque.
Right, yes.
And he settled in the dock area. He was a ship's merchant, a ship's chandler. So I wanted to include some of my own heritage in the story, in the adult character. So I have made my opera singer from Bilbao.
Ah, what a nice idea.
And I have put her in a castle in Pembrokeshire. Yes.
It's a fascinating part of Spain, actually, that whole Basque region in the north. I was very lucky to go there a couple of times a few years ago to San Sebastian and to Bilbao itself and so on. And it is so unlike anywhere else in Spain.
It is. Well, it's a it is part of Spain now, but
absolutely,
in the past it was a region, a country all of its own.
Mm, and fiercely proud of its tradition too.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you were saying that your grandfather, it was
my great grandfather,
and he came to Cardiff and ended up being a ship's chandler.
Yes, in the docks. It was at the turn of the 20th century.
Yes.
So around about
yes.
1900.
Okay. Yeah.
And he ended up owning the Big Windsor in the docks.
Did he? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
My word. Well, that really is a landmark in Cardiff Docks history. So this second book now, we mentioned a little bit earlier, is being published this week now on the 2nd of March for World Book Day. So, I mean, that must be really, really exciting that that's all come together for you.
It is. And we're going to be doing some World Book Day celebrations in school. We won't be doing them this week because we've got some things going on, but I'm hoping that we're going to be able to incorporate a lot of celebration of books.
Right, right. So all hands to the pump then, really. I mean, second book now, ready to go. And clearly you're going to hope that people are going to pick up on the fact that it is the second instalment for kids from what was a very popular first book. You've said there's an idea there for perhaps a third instalment. But what about then sort of branching sideways a little? Have you some other projects that you think you might hopefully be able to get away with the help of Candy Jar?
I've, a couple of years ago, Literature Wales gave me a bursary to take some time off
right.
from work and do some writing. And I wrote another book, another story.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about that. And short stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've adult short stories. I've won a couple of competitions with adult short stories. So my writing sort of goes in lots of different directions, dependent mm-hmm. on how I'm feeling, really.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's fair enough. And I was asking you off air a little bit earlier on about what sort of writer you are, whether you're a nighttime writer, daytime. And one thing you did say is very important to you, of course, is your trusty notebook.
Absolutely. My notebook goes everywhere with
Everywhere. So that when you get that idea, when you're in the middle of Marks and Sparks or Tesco's or whatever it may be, jot it down quick before you forget.
Yes, yeah, sometimes even if you're listening to other people's conversations while you're in the queue at the supermarket, be careful what you say.
Eavesdropping.
Be careful what you say, because it could be written down. If somebody says something interesting or somebody mentions something interesting, it's always... my mind goes in a direction that I have to write it down. Otherwise, by the time I get home, I will forget it.
It's gone, yeah. That if people do want to find out a little bit more about the books, obviously, if they go to the Candy Jar website.
Yes, they go to the Candy Jar website. And I've got a Twitter account, at Michelle Brisk.
Okay.
And, yes, they can find out a lot more about the books there.
So the second book, as we've said now, officially being published for World Books Day, which is coming up now, 2nd of March. And I know that Candy Jar are really very keen for obviously, for people to look in and think about buying copies. And particularly, they want people to go and buy them from the good old-fashioned bookshops. And, I mean, what a great idea it is to actually say to people, look, it's all very well ordering these things online, but isn't it rather nice to nip down to a local bookshop wherever you are, and that's obviously hoping that there is still a local bookshop somewhere, and support them and put the order in there?
Yes, in indie bookshops are our lifeblood, really. I use Griffin Books in Penarth.
Yes.
And it's really important to support your bookshops. Or alternatively, for children, the library. Go to the library and ask for a copy. And if they haven't got a copy in, they will order one in for you.
They absolutely will. I mean, I am a huge, huge champion of libraries. Always have been. But I mean, as the same though, as we say, with bookshops, it's not easy. There aren't that many around. So, if you've got one locally to you, cherish it. Go in there and buy books.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, it's been great having you here this morning, Michelle, chatting about the books. Obviously, I wish you all the luck in the world with the second volume, and I don't think you'll need any of my luck. I mean, I'm sure it's going to work out really, really very well for you. Fingers crossed, as you say, then another book will be on the way soon. And then we look forward to welcoming you back into the studio, maybe in a few months' time, to tell us about what's happening next.
Thank you. It's been really lovely. I've had a lovely morning.
Always good. Always good to have you here. And as we said, once again, let's big up the boys and girls at Candy Jar Publishing in Newport Road here in Cardiff, who have so many great authors on their books. And as my regular listeners know, so many of them either are come on the phone and have a chat with me if they're from outside the area, or, as with the case with your good self, Michelle, come in and have a little half hour and a chat and so on. But as I say, have a great day. Thank you for coming in. Wish you, as I say, best on Tuesday with the... not Tuesday, Thursday, rather, I should say, with the official launch. And fingers crossed we see you again very soon.
Thank you very much. Before I go...
oh, yes.
Could I just say hello to the boys and girls at Gwenville Primary School?
Well, of course.
School.
No,
I mean,
of course.
They may well have listened,
yes.
But just in case they've missed some, year four, year five, year six and year three...
I'm sure they're all very proud of hearing you on the radio, and do give them all our love and best wishes when you see them again this week.
I will do. Thank you.
Super stuff.